Accession number 32717, Reel 3.
And unfortunately, the one man before, on the first pass was shot right through the neck and he was killed immediately. The rest of them all survived. So that was, I got 2 or 3 days off, and the next day the captain wanted me to ride as a co-pilot, which was fine with me. Where did we go? Back to the same truck, so. Well, our fighters had been patrolling it better, and we didn't encounter any difficulties. I flew, I think, 2 or 3 days as a co-pilot, and then back in the left seat. Now, this is in December, this happened on December the 14th, 1944. And if you go on the internet and plug in 10th Combat Cargo Squadron, you can get to the story that John Martin, Lieutenant John Martin, tells about this experience that is called Operation Jackrabbit, moving the Chinese back over to China, and then the day that we got shot up, December the 14th. He was in that same group. He got hit, but his airplane, no one was hurt on the airplane, and he was able to return to home base. He went into mission up first and then back home. Needless to say, when I arrived back at our home base late that night, why, there were a lot of cheers in the mess hall that we had made it. There was one C-47 that went down and it was burned up. Everyone was lost. And I guess we had the most damage of anyone. And the radio operator, who was so brave, that stood with his head up in this astrodome and told me when they were coming. This is the astrodome right here. He was recommended for the Silver Star, and I don't know if he ever received it or not. But anyway, I continued flying. The CO, Captain Duke, offered me the captain's bars, promotion to captain. And gee, I thought that would look pretty good, you know, my shirt collar to bring home. But I was nearly killed 3 times in one day, and I said to myself, I don't think I need this. So I chose to come home and rather than wait for a captain's bar. But I'm very glad to have been able to help the war effort, and very happy that I came out of it alive, thanks to our Sergeant Troglev. And he wasn't scheduled. This is the interesting thing. He was not scheduled to ride, to fly that day. But they had a guy in their outfit whom they called Pappy, who was about 30 years old, and Pappy was sick that day. So Pappy was sick. So Jimmy flew in his place, and he did a magnificent job. My wife and I had looked him up in Globe, Arizona, since the war. We've been down to see him, and he's doing okay. After the war, I came back and was a flying instructor for a while. And then I got into sales and spent the rest of my life doing sales work, but never lost the love for flying. Thank you very much.
Now you are a true member of the greatest generation.
I'd just like to add one thing to verify the ass that used to drink the co-pilot at Hicks Field was named Rosie.
That's right.
And I have the same picture.
You do.
You know, not to drag things out at all, but Jean and I a month ago were in Austria, and we were going up on a river cruise to Regensburg, and needless to say, I kept my eye open for airplanes. And in the entire 12 days we were there, I saw 2 light aircraft. They have taxed flying to the ultimate there. They sell gasoline with an eyedropper by the liter, and it's impossible for general aviation to exist over there. Don't let it happen here. Do everything we can to avoid that and be thankful that we're still able to go out to the airport, climb in, and take a ride. Thank you so much for coming today. Thank you, Bob Severson, for your